Okay, Erev Tov, welcome back after a bit of a break. Just to announce, next week I'm not going to be here. I have to travel to London, so the next year will be in 2 weeks' time. There may very well be a shiur in 3 weeks' time. We'll have to see how it works, Bezrat Hashem, because I want to get at least a halfway through Sefer Daniel, through the narrative, because from chapter 7 onwards, it's all about his prophecies, which are sort of a whole parsha unto itself. So, as they say, the writing is on the wall for 2 weeks' time, because that's the chapter that deals with the writing on the wall. Also, I want to make a few dedications this evening. Firstly, I had Yotzah yesterday, so I want to dedicate the shiur in memory of my mother, Yetta Bas Yisrael, Zichrona Livracha. It's the 14th Yortzeit since she passed away. Also, at the end of the week, on Shabbos, the Yortzeit of my Rav in London, David Cooper, who really was one of the Gedolei Ador, just not recognized. I once asked him, I said to him, David, why don't you go and live in Eretz Yisrael? All his family lived in Israel. And he said he went to Israel, he knows that he would not have a quiet life. Because as soon as he got there, everybody recognized that this guy's a Gaon Olam. He knew everything, he knew Shas, Poskim, everything Baal Peh. Quite remarkable, because he'd gone over it over and over and over again, hundreds of times. Really, he kept a very low profile, but was certainly appreciated by people who knew him. His fourth Yortzeit takes place this Shabbos. Again, may his memory be for a blessing. And obviously, if we're standing on Yom HaShoah, let's dedicate our learning also in memory of the ones who gave up their lives during that terrible, terrible period in Jewish history. Again, may their memory be for a blessing. Chapter 4 of Sefer Daniel. This Sefer doesn't get any more straightforward. It actually gets a bit more, how should we say, it gets a bit more weird as we go along. I'm going to use the word weird because we haven't seen anything yet. We saw chapter 3, just to remind you, was the story of the three friends, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they are known in their Persian names, Babylonian names, and they were put into the fiery furnace and they came out. And we thought that at that point, Nebuchadnezzar had finally had some sort of revelation. As it said at the end of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, Malka l'chol mamaya, etc., 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 so it's like the language, as I said, of the Zmirah that we sing on Shabbat. Basically, he recognized the great wonders of the Most High God. And he seems to have had an, how should we say, a kind of epiphany. The problem is, it didn't last. And by the time I've got a bottle of water here. By the time we get to Perek Dalet, we see that Nebuchadnezzar, it's literally water off a duck's back, as they say. He hasn't, certainly has not internalized any of these messages. And we get the strangest chapter, which is a chapter which is dedicated to the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? This is his last, this is his swan song, as they say. It's about ducks and swans, I apologize. But the fact is that, this is where Nebuchadnezzar bows out. After four chapters of trying to find out what the man is really about, and as I'm quoting here from Rav Ariel, that the sefer we've been looking at, he says Nebuchadnezzar has got to recognize God. There is there's a theme here. The theme becomes something which we see later on in Talmud. If you look in Gemara Gittin, you'll see the same thing happen with Titus. Titus was the Roman general who destroyed the second temple. And what happened was that Titus claims that when he put the sword into the parochet, blood came out. And he thought that, kaviyocha, as they say, he's killed God, because, he thought that's what he was able to do. The man had such a big ego that he thought he could kill the God of the world. So Hashem says, quoted by the Gemara, that you think you can tangle with the God of the world. I've got a little bug in my army called a flea. Let's see you tangle with that. And the flea goes up his nose, the whole story, and it's in his head, and he starts getting headaches, and he has to get someone to bang the anvil, make a sound to try and calm his headache, and it gets worse. And eventually the guy dies, and they open his head, and it says tzipor, there's a growth in his head the size of a bird. Okay, or was it a bird for real? It's very unclear, but it's presumably some sort of growth that he had. And again, the whole idea with people like Titus and here with Nebuchadnezzar is that the concept is that they should come to an awareness that as much as they destroyed the temple of Israel, it wasn't because they were such great people that they could destroy it, it was because Am Yisrael brought it upon themselves. They were just messengers of God. Right, and therefore how you go about doing your shlichut is something which dictates exactly the way you're punished. Paro clearly allowed the Egyptians to have free reign and encouraged it, therefore maybe the punishment there was more severe. In this case, Nebuchadnezzar, you'll see what happens to him. He also goes through a kind of situation which again is a message, is a moral to him. How you can consider yourself so great. You know what I'm going to do to you, Nebuchadnezzar? You're going to become lower than the wild animal which surrounds you in the forests around your palace. And if you don't know this story, this is an unbelievable story. Nebuchadnezzar, there's a big question mark amongst the Mephoreshim, as when we learn through this, as to exactly what happened to him. Two issues that really I want to think about. Number one is what exactly is going to happen to him as when we read this. And number two, what is Daniel doing once he's interpreted this dream? There's another dream coming up. What is Daniel doing by giving Nebuchadnezzar an Eitzah? He seems to give him some advice. And it wasn't called for. What Nebuchadnezzar wanted was an interpretation of the dream. All of a sudden, Daniel stands up and says, oh, by the way, if we're going to do something about it, you should give more charity, you should be more charitable, etc. It's a bit of a dangerous thing to say to a king like Nebuchadnezzar, right? Who is asking Daniel to express an opinion? So we're going to have to deal with literally two issues in this chapter. Number one, what the actual chapter is about, but more to the point, what was Daniel's thinking to give advice, and what exactly happened to Nebuchadnezzar? So that's where we're going in chapter 4. As you'll see, this is a perek which is being written down in the name of Nebuchadnezzar. So if he comes to an awareness of the God of Israel and announces it and says it, B'Shem Omro, literally says it himself, there's no greater testimony to the power of Hashem than this chapter 4. Sefer Daniel, I was thinking, what should we call it? A pseudonym, a different title of a Sefer Daniel is Sefer Emunah. No other way to describe it. It's a book of faith. It's a fantastic sefer. I'm just, again, as I said, I keep saying, I'm amazed how so few people learn this. Sefer Daniel is very uplifting. I think the language gets you a little bit, but you know, you break your teeth a little bit, you can get through it. Let's go through this chapter. Listen to this, Dalet. Chapter 4, verse 1. I don't know what page it is in the official blue book. Sorry? 28. Okay, listen to this. Ano is Ani, right? I, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, Shalei Haveit Bebeiti, Shalei is Lashon Shalom, right? I'm in my palace and everything is in peace. V'ranan Be'echali and everything is flourishing. Ranan is the Hebrew word, right? D'sheinim v'rananim yiyu, we say it on Shabbat. Be'echali, my Hechal, in my palace. Everything in my house is good. Everything in my palace is good. You know, everything's going well. Nebuchadnezzar seems to be, how should we say, living the good life. That's what he's saying about himself. But he doesn't have peace of mind. Chelem chazet v'dahalin linani. I saw a dream and I was petrified. Okay, Rashi, I think, says on that word, dalinani iyem alive hivchidani. Right, it kind of threatened me. It was a threatening dream, and it scared me. Back to the pasuk, and I thought about it while I'm laying on my bed. And the visions of my mind terrified me. So this is a man who, on one hand, says everything was good on the outside, but in my head, I was going crazy. And again, one suspects that you know this is Nebuchadnezzar. Obviously, he's being made to realize the lesson here, but, you know, he could have done a lot better than he did. At the end of chapter 3, he could have already come to this recognition, and he never made it. Listen to this, Gimel. Umini sim te'em. So at this point, it's all in the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking here. I issue the te'eh means an order. To bring all the wise men above him. Remember, he's just killed a whole bunch of them. So he's got to rescind the exile, you know, because he's thrown them all out. He's got to bring them back. And anyone who can interpret the dream should let me know. All right? So he wants to bring people in to interpret the dream.
It's interesting because Daniel had interpreted
the second dream. And he's saving Daniel for the end because he still has reservations about Daniel. Daniel's the foreigner. He's not one of us. He didn't go to our schools. He didn't go to our colleges. You know, he's nishfanunz, right? He's not anshei shalomeinu. And therefore, I think he's holding Daniel off because he knows Daniel knows interpretation, but he's got his own bunch of chachomim, wise guys, right? And maybe they will be able to help him out. Of course they can't. All right? Dalet, that's interesting, this. There's always, as high as the Jew gets in the non-Jewish world, he's still pushed over to the side. All right, we saw this. Even the Barbanel talks about this. You know that he was right up there in the Spanish court. But when it came to it, he was given an option not to go into exile, and he said, "No, I've got to go with my brother." And then he left. You know, so there's always going to be this kind of barrier. I mean, again, even in this country, you feel it.
More beautiful with the Barbanel, he said, "Right now, you're the most mighty power in the world. They'll look back to this day and see from now on."
And you're going down. Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. It's incredible. I know, but it was chutzpah to say, but he was right. Right? The Spanish Armada and everything else and all the history of it. It's an interesting story. The whole thing with the Barbanel is fascinating. All right, Dalet. So he's called a power, right? Nebuchadnezzar, and he's talking. But Dayan, Olalin, Chatumayo, Oshbaya, Kastoy, these impossible words. Gazraya, he's bringing all the interpreters, the necromancers, and all these guys, the chelma, and the dream, Omar, he tells them the dream. Anok adameon upishrei, here's my dream, please interpret it. Lo modinli, but when they tried to, it had no meaning. They couldn't do it. All right. Now again, the parallels to Paro and the story with Yosef are enormous, and it's going to be very significant as we go on through the story. The ad acharein al kodamai Daniel. So in the end, I had to bring Daniel back because said Nebuchadnezzar is the only guy who seems to be able to say something which I felt was the truth. The Shemei Belshazzar, but I still have to point out his real name, as far as I'm concerned, is the Goyshe name Belshazzar. Remember, named after the god B'shum Eloi. He says in the name of my god, but the Ruach Eloi Kadishin Be. And he's not admitting that it's the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem with him. It's Ruach Elohim Kadishin, the spirit of, he says over here, holy angels. So Nebuchadnezzar sees Daniel as a holy man, but not quite connected to the God of Israel. He's still putting a distance. And this is Nebuchadnezzar's problem, that he's so full of his own importance, his own chashivas, he can't admit that Hashem, okay, Israel, the God of Israel, has a hand in this. And of course, he's going to have to eat humble pie, as we say. And then he says, I told him my dream. And Vav, Belshazzar, Rav, Chartumai, Diano, Yodid, and Belshazzar, he says, oh, Belshazzar, he gives him a speech. You're the greatest of the interpreters that I know. You have the spirit of the angels, of the holy angels in you. Chorazlo anaslin. And no secret is hidden from you. Right, tell me, here's the dream, and please tell me the interpretation. And he tells it. Now Daniel is in a very difficult position. And again, what do you say? I think this must go back to Yosef, the same thing. When Pharaoh tells Yosef the dream, and he has to tell him, seven, it's going to be good, and then it's going to turn bad. You're telling Pharaoh that his country is going to fall apart. It's a very, you need a lot of, a lot of bravery to be able to say that.
Is there also going to be over here where he doesn't tell him everything, where he twists part of it?
It's not quite. I think he has to tell him everything, but he gives him a warning beforehand. You know, like on the cigarettes. This comes with the Surgeon General's warning, all right? The Necromancer General. I'm going to tell you the meaning, but you should know this is not something good. Listen to this. It's an unbelievable story. This Zion, So this is what he says. I saw this image on my bed. This is what I saw. There was an enormous tree, right? He's always thinking about trees. Remember, and the size of Nebuchadnezzar's imagination is always big. Big. The Rume Sagin, it was very vast. It was a tremendous height, this tree. Right? This is the dream. Revai Lona to Kiv, and it was a tree which was growing, it became very strong. The Rume Yitzmei Lishmai, and it was going right up to the heaven. The Chazote Lesov Kolara, and it stretched right to the end of the world. Wow. This was something very special. Of Ye Shapir, the Inbe Sagi, and they had tremendous branches and tremendous fruits. In other words, it was, you can sort of work out what the Nimshal is already. But Mozan, the Kolabe, and it could feed everybody. Everyone that came to the tree was fed. To Chosoi, Tatleil, Chevat Baran, and the animals, the beasts, took shade underneath the tree. Uban Poi, you do Ravon. And the birds would dwell in the branches. Umina yidzin kol biso, and all flesh, all mankind was fed from this tree. Wow. Fine. Chazei haveit bechezvei reishi amishko. This is what I saw when I was dreaming in my mind when I was on my bed. The elu ir v'kadish min shemaya nachan. Similar to what he had in the original dream. If you remember, something came down from heaven. There was enormous Evan that came down from Shemaim. Here, it's some sort of holy spirit. Something came down from heaven and nachet and rested on me. Rashi says, "Umalach shuar lo'olam v'kadish." It's some sort of angel came down. I saw some sort of spirit come down and upon the tree. And this is where the dream goes bad. Karei b'chayim. I cried out in great noise, volume. V'chein amar, and this is what I said. Go to Ilona. V'chein amar. This is what he said to me. Go to Ilona v'katzon for I cut down the tree. That's what I was told to do. Itaru and the branches. Itaru afye ubadaru inve, and make sure that you shake off the branches and get rid of the fruits. Tenud chevosim intchev, make all the animals run away. But tziporayim in if and all the birds fly away. Get rid of everything. Cut the whole thing down. And of course, in Nebuchadnezzar, this was shocking. Only leave the stump of the tree. All right. This, of course, reminds me, if you remember the Haftarah from the last day of Pesach, right? The stump of Yishai. The what's it called? Something Yishai. The Gezer. And it's the whole thing of the Nevuah there. All right, so this remains that this is the same symbolism that when you leave a stump behind, eventually something can grow from it again. It's in fact interesting because next week Yom HaTzmaut in Israel, because they don't do the 8th day Yontif, obviously they don't have it, so they read that Haftarah on Yom HaTzmaut. It's in the Rabbanut HaRashid. They took the Haftarah. They don't say it with the Shem V'Malchus. They just read it as a reading, and it's very significant. It's a beautiful Nevuah that's going on there, and obviously the idea of from this stump of a tree from the barrenness of that situation can grow new leaves and everything as we see, thank God, in Israel today. So it's again very significant. So I thought of that when I read this. You'd bet again. Baram, Ikar shall show you Ba'ara Shavuku. So you've got to leave the roots, the stump. Ubasod Parzalu Nachash. And this is kind of weird. Because what happens is that it seems to be covered with some sort of chains over the tree. But dita di bara with again, it's going to be iron, I don't know, but dita, the ace of asadeh, klomar ba'achu shelo yozuz misham. It's also in the, some sort of field, it's some sort of meadow. Very weird. This stump is going to get covered in dew, get soaked. And the wild beasts shall be with the together there with the grass. In other words, basically, it'll be there, but it will only be a stump. It'll be covered over in some sort of chains, and it will be drenched, and the beast will surround it. That's the dream. Pretty scary dream. You give them. Libave, excuse me. Min anavsha yishanun. And the heart of the person will change. Ulevav cheva yisayv leh, be given the heart of an animal. This is, again, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't want to admit to it, but he's worried that, you know, he's going to lose his marbles. He's going to be turned into some sort of animal. Veshivai danin yichalfun aloin. There's going to be 7 periods of time which that person, whoever it is, or the image that is connected with this dream, is going to have to endure this particular situation for 7 periods of time. Turns out 7 years. Yudalit. It's weird. Begzerat Irin Pitgama. And it's the decree of the Irin Pitgama, which again is a strange expression. The one of the Irin Pitgama, the words of this holy being or whatever it was, or the wakeful being, he says there, whatever that means. Ma'ama Kadishin She'elta. And by the word of the holy ones, that this is a decree. And what will happen is, as he says over here, that the living will know that in the kingdom of man, there reigns over the kingdom of man, and whoever he wishes, he can give it to, and the lowest of man, he will raise up. That was basically what Nebuchadnezzar is saying, though he doesn't realize it. Well, he seems not to want to realize it, that all of this image that he's seeing is the idea that there's a power, there's a force above and beyond which controls this whole scene, right? What is coming along is a force which is going to control the malchut and Hashem, the kingdom of man, and is going to be able to raise up this person or put this person down. And obviously Nebuchadnezzar is very frightened because it means that his power is limited. He gets it, but he doesn't want to he's not prepared to hear the pshat yet, but you'll see what happens. You tedva, denoch el machazet. So he said, that's what I saw in my dream. I know Malka Nebuchadnezzar, I'm King Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, you know, I'm the greatest, right? Va'ant bashatza pishreyamar. You bashatza, tell me the interpretation. Kol kabel dikol chachimei malchuti. Something which all the other people in my kingdom cannot do. Lo yochilin pishra lo datuni tutani, they could not tell me. Va'and kahel, but you know the able dirach aloin kadishim, because you have the spirit of the angels in you. Okay, so again, he's always pushing Daniel to do this, but he's not admitting that Daniel is connected to the God of Israel. Okay, he's kind of pushed back a bit. Hashemayim, was he saying the post? Hashemayim, Shemayim, Lashem. That seems to be his ashkofa, that the heavens belong to God, but down here it's all about what we control. And that seems to be Nebuchadnezzar's problem. So Daniel now is faced with a problem, because he knows what the dream is about, but what do I tell the king? What's going to happen? So Ted Zayin, Adayin Daniel Dishmei Belshatzar Ishtomem Kishachad, that Daniel was silent for a whole hour. He couldn't speak, because he didn't know what to tell the poor, well, not the poor guy, he didn't want to tell the man. Varayanoi Yivalunin, his thoughts were frightening him, because he knew what was going on here. Ane, he answered, Ane Malka V'Omar. So the king saw that Daniel couldn't speak. So he said to him, it's just an unbelievable story. He said, Belshatzar Chelma Pishrei, Al Yivah V'Haloch. Don't let this dream alarm you. Now, but tell me what it's about. So he answered him, and of course, because Nebuchadnezzar is talking, he's always calling Daniel by his Babylonian name, and he says to him, he says, firstly, this is a dream that really should have been told to your enemies, all right? That this is something which I really can't tell you. You know, it's on their house, not shouldn't be on your house, all right? But if you really want to know, here we go, Yud Zayin. Ilana di Chazet. What was the Chazet? What is the tree that you saw? Di Ravat Kif, which became so big and strong. Veruma Yidmei Shmayim, and stretched to the heaven. Vechazote Nechol Ara, and it could be seen richer of the whole world. Veof Yeshapir Veinve Sagin, had tremendous fruits and all of the branches. Mozon Lekola bay, and it could feed everything around it. The whole world was fed from this tree. To chotoi, to dur, chayvat bara, and the animals lived beneath it. And then all the birds were perched on the tree. You know what it's all about, Yutet? It's kind of obvious. Antu malka di revaitut kev. This is you. The tree, Nebuchadnezzar, is you. You are the king who is revived to kev. You became so strong and so mighty. Revutach revatu matat l'shamayah. Your power stretches lishmai, but not in heaven, up to the heavens. V'sholtanach l'sofara, and your control is right to the end of the earth. So he's not mincing his words. He's saying that this is a dream about you. Now, chaf, di v'di chazom malka iv kadish. But you saw this force, this angel coming down from heaven, and he said to cut down the tree and destroy it. Leave the roots, and cover it over with these iron chains. And leave it in the field of the meadow there. And it will be drenched in dew. And it will be there with the wild animals. Till 7 periods pass by. He's repeating the dream because he wants to make Nebuchadnezzar absolutely clear that every detail of the dream has a purpose. And Daniel is not messing around here. All right, because you know, if he misses out one of the details, Nebuchadnezzar will jump down his throat. You didn't tell me about this, didn't tell me about that. So he's making it very clear. If you think about it, it's the same thing with Parah. You know, when Yosef goes over the interpretation, he goes line by line. And he gives him, you know, the 7 fat ones, 7 thin ones, etc., etc. So the parallels with Yosef are very strong. And it gets even stronger, as you'll see in a minute. Kafala. Dana Pishra Malka. I'm going to tell you what it means, O king. And take some tranquilizer before you hear this. Take some Valium. Ugzeirati lohi, this is a gezerah, this is a decree from Most High, meaning from Hashem. Di matat al mori malka, who is above, whatever's going to happen to you, has been shown from the king, from my lord the king. In other words, it's come from the God of Israel. V'loch teradin min enosha. What's going to happen to you is that you're going to be thrown out by all of these people. They're going to reject you. It doesn't say how it happened. And it's clear from the story it didn't happen immediately. He had like a year's grace. Then all of a sudden, seemingly, whatever he did, there was some sort of situation in the kingdom, and he was exiled from the kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar was just thrown out. He wasn't killed, which is strange, because you would have thought that, you know, if he does something against the people, they'll chop his head off. In this case, no. He's going to be thrown out into the fields. Very interesting. Again, chafbet. V'loch tradun min tardim min anosha. You're going to be banished from people. V'imcheivat bara lehevei medoroch. And you're going to have to live with the animals, the wild animals. V'ispo ketorin lach yita'amun. And what will happen is that you will eat from the grass like the behemoths, the tor, right? We say that word we had in Chagadia, the ox. Umital shamaya loch mitzabin, and you'll be drenched by the dew of heaven. That will be your liquid. V'shiva idonin yichalv, and alach, 7 periods of time will pass by. Adi tinda, until you know. Di shalit iloy b'machut enosha, until you understand that there is a ruler over the kingdom of man. Ulaman di yitzbe yitznina, and whatever he decides, he gives. In other words, that you'll finally come to an awareness of God. So what Nebuchadnezzar is being told, that he's got to literally leave humanity and be pushed into a situation of survival in the jungle, as it were. You know, Tarzan, I don't know what you're going to describe him. And what's going to happen as a result of this is that he will come back and finally have a recognition of the God of Israel. It's extreme medicine. It's extreme because on the one hand, you know, you think so, what does he gain by this? But I think that the point here is that being put into this situation and surviving that situation, right? He's going to come back from an impossible situation, and he's going to be back in society. Not only that, he's going to come back to be the ruler till he dies. That in itself will say to him, I went out, I came back in. You know what? It's not about me, it's about Hashem. All right? And again, I think, you know, the comparison to Paro. Eventually, Paro finally understands, he admits that, you know, there is a God in Israel.
You mentioned it was like 1 year grace period. Sorry, Paro, you'll say he acted immediately.
Yeah, it was, in that case, he didn't
have...
Correct, correct. There's, it's a strange...
thought that he said, oh, let me jump on this right away.
Yeah, because the thing is with Nebuchadnezzar, until you give him an eitzah what to do, it doesn't go over his head, but he doesn't react in the way that you expect. You know, this is not Nineveh. He doesn't seem to have a historical awareness. You know, I like the Chazal, which says that Paro, when he survived the Red Sea, where did he end up? In Nineveh, according to Chazal. Right, which is strange. I mean, he must have been a descendant of Paro. And the reason why they say it is because as soon as Nineveh is challenged by Yonah, that it's going to be destroyed, they do tshuva immediately. And you say to yourself, wait a minute, these are not Jews. What do you mean do tshuva? It's like the guy walking up and down Broadway saying the end of the world, and people do tshuva. No, they think he's a crank. And along comes Yonah, and he says the world's going to be destroyed, and they do tshuva. The answer is because Paro is the king. All right, he knows that if it's a message from the God of Israel, you don't mess around. All right. If you are told that your city is going to be destroyed unless you do something about it, you do something about it. All right. So that's why I like the way the rabbis link Pharaoh from that story with the Nineveh story, even if it's a bit of a stretch historically. But I think the point is made. So it's an interesting thing. Yeah. It's just about the God of the world. Yeah. Supreme being. That's a good point, because again, you're in the Galut here, you know, what exactly... There is a certain amount of ambiguity here, but I think it's more the way that, not necessarily, I don't know, can he come with a very heavy Jewish message at this point, Daniel? My feeling is he's got to make it strong, but he's also got to protect himself. So he says, Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're right at the top of the tree? You're the tree. The answer is no, you're not. You're going to be cut down to size. He's not even talking about... He's talking about just... There is this power above, yeah. And as long as you understand that you are, therefore, human, and you have human limitation, that's probably enough. That's about as much as we can expect from a Nebuchadnezzar. We can't expect... He's not going to go to Eish HaTorah and become, Balchiv. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have to be. I don't think Ben Noach needs to believe in the God of Israel. He has to believe in God, monotheism.
Monotheism, one God. Yeah. So that's what seems to be going here. So the point is a good point. Thank you, Jared. I think it's an interesting thing. Let's finish the chapter. Listen to this. It's a teeth breaker. Chaf Gimel. Di amaro le mishbak ikash or shoy di lona. Now you were told to leave the roots were going to stay behind. Malchutach lach kayomah. That means your kingdom will be waiting for you. You're just going to have a bit of time out. 7 years furlough. This is a sabbatical for 7 years. Min di tinda, and it will be at that point that you will know di shalitun shemaya, who controls the heavens. Okay. In other words, it's going to be time for you to be away from everybody, and this seven, of course, reminds me again of the Metzora. Because what does the Metzora do? He goes out of the camp for the minimum of 7 days in order to contemplate his situation. Right? You know, and he gets checked, and can he come back? Can he not come back? He needs a bit of time out. So for Nebuchadnezzar, it was 7 years. Now again, as I said at the beginning of the Shir, does it mean that he actually goes with the animals for 7 years or not? Right, there's this famous thing, if you do Wikipedia on Nebuchadnezzar, it'll tell you all about Nebuchadnezzar becoming as wild as a dog, I think usually the tradition is, right? But the reality is, a lot of rabbis say no. It means that for that period of time, he literally was behaving in the most irrational way, and they probably had to lock him up, they had to restrain him for those 7 years. Kaf Dalet. Lahein Malka Milki Yishbar Leva. So he says, O king, if you want to do something, yishbar l'shaper, you want to improve your situation. This is where Daniel offers some advice. So, you know, we ask the question, how can he offer some advice here? You know, who told him to speak up? And the answer is...
If the king hears all this and doesn't, he'll kill him.
But what is Daniel doing here? What is Daniel learning from? Again, he's Yosef. It's Yosef all the way. Yeah, and he tells Pharaoh to do something. He wasn't asked to tell Pharaoh to suggest that they should appoint somebody to look after the country, but he felt that was the way to deal with the crisis. And Daniel here is saying to the king the same thing. And again, it's very interesting because the Chazal are in the two minds about it. The Gemara and Baba Basra, which criticizes Daniel for doing this. And even the numbers rabbinically, they find, I'll read the quote from here, I saw this today. In the end of the day, Daniel was punished because he gave Nebuchadnezzar advice. So, you know, it wasn't so glut, it wasn't so straightforward that Daniel should have done this. But he does it anyway. Chavdala, listen to this. You know, how do you redeem yourself? Through charity, through doing more acts of kindness. Deal with the poor. And this will give you more tranquility. In other words, if you start doing staka, then maybe it will save you from this particular fate. And the interesting thing is that maybe that's why there was a delay. Because Kaf Hei says, Kola Mota on Nebuchadnezzar Malka. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar, as it says, Likatsat Yarchin Treyasa, the end of 12 months. So maybe for those 12 months he was actually doing some chesed. Maybe he got the message. And he spent the 12 months trying to put it off, but by the end of the 12 months, you know, he maybe became a bit indifferent. You know, this is a bit of hocus pocus. I mean, who knows what he thought to himself? And then he goes into this state of complete madness. But it says again, Kavav, Likasad Yachin Treyasad, the end of the 12 months, Al Hecha Malchuta, he was walking in the palace, Dibava Balachava, he was walking in his palace, Anei Malkav Omar, then the king raised his voice and he said, Halo Dohi Bava Rabta, this is the great Babylon, Diano Banite Lebet Malku, in other words, it's all about him again, alright, so full of his own situation. I built this incredible palace. Bitzkof chisni likah hadri. I did it for my glory and for my power. And as he's saying these words, clearly hasn't yet got the message. He's so full of himself. Od milta bepum malka. At this point, it says the word was still in his mouth. Kol min shemaya nafal. A voice came down from heaven. Lach amrin Nebuchadnezzar malka malchuta adat bina. Now, what you said, Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom is yours, they have now turned away from you. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar realizes that he's in trouble. They've gone away from you now, they will banish you. You're going to have to go and live in the wild. There was some sort of coup d'etat, there was some sort of rebellion. And you'll eat the oxes eat the grass. There'll be seven periods of time when you'll be out in the wild. Adi tinda, till you will know di shalit eloi machut enasha, that there is a greater force above you in the kingdom of man. Whoever he wants to lead, he will give the ability to lead. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar, you need a real dose of medicine at this point to get this message across. Ba'ashata milta safata Nebuchadnezzar. It says at that time it happened. It doesn't say how. Uman umin enosha taridi, was literally thrown out from the presence of man. The iswa katerni achel, he started having to eat the grass. Now again, does it mean he did this, or does it mean that he went crazy and he sort of behaved like an animal? Whatever it was, it's not clear. You know, when he actually went out to live there, or they just locked him up. Umital Shemaya Gishmei Yitzdaba. It reminds me, there's a story in British history. George III went mad, right? And he was put in a straitjacket for I think a number of years. And eventually came out of it. He sort of came back to his normality and became, you know, sort of sane and clear again. There's a wonderful movie about it. The Madness of King George III. It's a very excellent film. Gives you sort of a bit of this strange history. Just after the American Revolution, so maybe that's what drove him crazy, I don't know. But, you know, you never know what happened. So again, you know, he's going to be out of the picture for a whole bunch of time. Again, just to continue, we're going to finish the chapter. Adi sarei kenishrin rava v'tifroi ketzapiron, and his nails became like the nails of birds, claws. He basically, for 7 years, never looked after himself. Liktzat yomaya anot. And at the end of those days, Nebuchadnezzar goes back to him speaking. I, Nebuchadnezzar, I looked up to the heaven. Umadi Allah Yituv, and my understanding. In other words, I got my marbles back. Uleiloi Borches, I blessed the highest one. Ulechai Alma Shabchet Vadreit, and I gave praises and glory to the living, the one who lives forever. Di Shaltone Shaltan Alam, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom. Machute in Dov, as he said once before, and he's saying it again. The psukim which we know from Hashre. Machutcha Machut Kolonim Shaltcha Bechol Dov. And Nebuchadnezzar is saying it. It's interesting. Lamabet. Bechol Dori Ara Vekula Chashivin. And he now says the following. He says, everyone in the world, Kalach Hashivin, is like nothing. Ukumitzbe'e Avad Bechel Shemayim. Right, and they have to follow the will of God, of the God of heaven, who darei Arab, those who dwell on the land, abound him. Velo itai di yimachei biyadei, and nobody can stop his hand. Veyomalei ma'avada, to tell him, what are you doing? In other words, he finally came to this awareness of the power of Hashem. Okay, as I think about Titus, you know, when he died, he finally came to that awareness as well. That, you know, you're messing with the God of Israel, as I imagine, I would like to believe that before Hitler took his own life, he also maybe had some sort of awareness, you know, that he should rot in hell forever and ever is a small punishment for such an evil man, and for all these evil men. But they come to an awareness. There must be something there. Something happens. And it says, Lamed Gimel, Beis Zimna Menadin Yituv Alayim Likam Machuti Hadri. In other words, basically, I came back to my kingdom. Vezivi Yituv Alayim, my glory was returned to me. Veli Ha Devrai Verav Ravanai Yivon, and all the splendor, all the leaders came back to me. Al Machuti Hot Knat Ravo Yatira Husvali, and everything was excessive greatness came back to me. In other words, he recognizes, but of course, because he was out. And now he's come back, he has a different appreciation of his position. Lama Dala. We're nearly finished. And he says, Kan Ano Nebuchadnezzar Meshabach Meremeim Madel Melech Shemai. I'm now going to give praise to the God of heaven. Di Kol Ma'avodoi Kishot. Everything he does is true. V'rchotei Din. And all his ways are ways of judgment. V'di Mahalchim Begeve Yochil Lishpola. And whoever is humble, he can bring down anyone who is begove, walks with arrogance. He can bring down ashpola, lashpil, how do we say in the halal? Mashpil geim, magbia shvola. We say in davening, not in halal. And again, these are all psukim, these are all things which we recognize. This is a fabulous chapter, right? And it's Nebuchadnezzar's almost, I would say this is his obituary. Okay, he's writing his own final chapter, because after this, he's gone. The next chapter, Belshazzar, the famous story of the Suda, you know, when they had the message from God on the wall, that comes afterwards. Nebuchadnezzar is gone; he's done. We're not given any indication when he died. Between chapter 4 and 5, he's made this recognition and he's out of there. Did he get the message across to the next generation? The answer is no. And this is why we have to go to chapter 5, Belshazzar, the famous meal, and they're sitting there and. He's denying again the existence of any other God. He says, I am God. And as we'll see, Mitzvah Hashem, next time, chapter 5, the very, very famous story with a lot of this insight, you know, to try and understand what the message of this story is. Why he gave him eitzes, another suggestion, by the way, is that Yosef, Daniel in this case, saw that although this was an image from a dream, it wasn't the final word. It wasn't a closed book. In other words, Daniel felt maybe that if I give Nebuchadnezzar some Eitzah, he may be able to turn the thing around and not go through this tremendous degradation which he's going to have to suffer. So there seems to have been, I don't know, maybe Daniel had a certain amount of, I don't know what the word is, pity on Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know why. To me, I know why you would pity this person, but I suppose maybe Daniel felt there's ways of achieving this recognition of God without going through everything that has been predicted. No, it doesn't seem to be, but again, you know, you read the details of the destruction. The siege lasted a long time. That's Asar B'Teves, and then you get, you know, that was like 2 or 3 years. No, they're certainly not. No, and you read the kinnas, they go into great detail about that. So there's no question, you know, in his Rav Tabachim, right? Remember that whole story? Killed all the Pirchei Kuna. I mean, this is really cruel and when the destruction comes, the Malach HaMavis, it's uniform. Nobody is saved, which is one of the shocking sort of questions about the Shoah. The same question, you know. There's like everybody is affected by this. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and I see it that way. But as I said, the Gemara. Look at this Gemara. It's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Dalad Omen Aleph. Look it up. Check it out. It's very interesting. And the Gemara says that some people feel that he was, in fact, overstepping the mark. And this is a debate, a rabbinical debate, about how to, you know, sort of what to say to Nebuchadnezzar. To, you know, leave him to his own fate. Leave him to what's going to be. But you should mix in like this, you know. But Daniel's not the person to let it go. Because Daniel is a tzaddik. He's Daniel ish chamudot. Ish chamudot, a guy like this who is so chamud, is so precious, he's not going to let this happen without trying to at least influence it in the right way, in the proper direction. And you learn from Daniel, you learn some tremendous lessons from this man. As I said, the Sefer, this is Sefer Emunah. Fabulous Sefer. The next story of chapter 5, as I said, Mr. Shem, in 2 weeks, God willing, we'll be here in 2 weeks, then... you know, it's so well known, but again, a lot to analyze, a lot to think about. I wish everybody good evening.
Don't go away because we're working on
it. Ah, we are working. Okay. Okay, we'll give it a minute. All right. Shkai, thank you very much.